All right. Thank you, Steve. Okay. Well, did you enjoy last week with Pastor Allen? Yeah, I thought it was a great message, right? Kind of fit right in what we're talking about. Thought it was, he always gives a great message. So if you weren't here, you can go online to yourcbcfamily.org and you can download the message, and you can download, actually there's probably 50 or so in there, so you can catch up with what we're doing. We are doing the Game Changer. The Game Changer is what the name of the series is that we decided we were going to do, and we're in the third week of it. There's actually 4 weeks. Pastor Ron, you're not going to want to miss, because he's going to finish us up next week, and then we'll start into another series or whatever God leads us to do. But like I said, we're in the third week. And let me recap a little bit about where we were for the last couple of weeks. The first week, what we did is we talked about there are two teams, right? There's Satan's team and there's God's team. If you're not on God's team, guess whose team you're on? Satan's team, right? The NFL has all kinds of shirts. They have all kind of different teams that you can play on. But here in reality, there's only two teams, God's team or Satan's team. So you're either doing, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord over your life, may today be the day of salvation for you. So we'll talk about it, right? Amen. We had a couple salvations the last couple of weeks, and it's been great here. But anyway, so we kind of wanted to know whose team you were on, what jersey you were actually wearing, and that's why we're wearing jerseys, kind of figure out whose team you're all on. And I think everybody here is Steeler fans, right? Anybody else for like the Ravens or anybody? All right, just checking it out. Just check, what, you? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, so anyway, we also talked about the fact that we can make game-changing plays that will affect you, your life, will affect, can affect your team. If, for instance, you're on God's team, all right, and you're in the Calvary Baptist team, okay, and you can make game-changing plays that will help forward God's kingdom, right? Do things here to forward God's kingdom, and that's our ultimate goal, because that's God's ultimate goal, is to grow his kingdom. Now, you could also be in this congregation and on God's team, but making game-changing plans for the other team, right? Like when Rothenberger gets up there and he throws an interception. That's a game-changing play for the wrong team. There are many of us that do that without, maybe unwillingly, but we do it because we follow our feelings rather than following what God wants us to do in his word. So anyway, we talked about that, making game-changing plays. And then week two was about being in the right position. You know, old Jed Clampett, right? He was in the right position. He was shooting at some food, right? And what came up but a bubbling crude, right? And you guys can all pretty much sing that, except for maybe Jarrett, he's too young, right? Anyway, he could have been sulking and sitting around. He could have been in his easy chair in that old broken down cabin saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and I don't care, let my, you know, my circumstances and everything dictate to how I feel and everything else. But guess what, he got up and he went out and he made a game-changing play for his family. And even though it's like this science, or not science fiction, but a fictitious person and everything else, doesn't really matter. It's the principle of the matter. But he was did pretty well, paid off for him, right? And then we looked at King Saul. King Saul, and he was out of position. All right, we talked about being in position and out of position. So King Saul was out of his comfort zone. What he did was Samuel said, hey, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to go to Gilead. And when you get there, wait 7 days and I'll be there and I'll let you know what the Lord says to do. Okay?
Well, the Philistines came down on him, and he was getting nervous, and he wasn't in his comfort zone. He was out of his comfort zone. He didn't know what to do. 7 days lapsed, and Samuel hadn't come up, and what did he do? He sacrificed. He made a game-changing play for the other team. He sacrificed. And guess what happened then? He lost the kingdom. You know, just like the other two guys, Samuel's sons, what they did is they made the whole nation of Israel sin because they were making game-changing plays for the wrong team. He lost his kingdom. And the message this week, the kind of the message last week was, if we are growing, we will always be outside of our comfort zone. Always. It's kind of like you get growing pains, right? When I was a kid and I started that spurt of growing. I didn't grow too much. Didn't get too much, same like my hair, you know. But anyway, you get these spurts of growth and you get growing pains. Your arms start to hurt a little bit. Your joints start to hurt a little bit because you're growing. And sometimes, you know, we experience growth here at the church. Like last week, we were scratching our heads thinking, okay, what are we going to do? We don't have enough room. We have classrooms. We have small groups. We have the Haiti party going on, the calendar party going on. We have this thing going on. We don't have enough room. We're experiencing growth pains. So that's a good thing, right? Sometimes it's a good thing. But when you're out of your comfort zone, that sometimes God wants to get you there. Like he wanted to get Saul, King Saul, in that position and watch what he did. See, he was growing Saul. And he wanted to watch him, what he would do. And he did the wrong thing. He made the game changer for the wrong team. Comfort, he would rather be in a comfort zone. And a lot of us want to be in a comfort zone. We want to come here on Sunday morning. We want to take a seat and we want to listen to a message. We want to be entertained. We want to listen to the music and whatever. And then we want to go home and not be bothered for the rest of the week. Because comfort, unfortunately, equals complacency. You cannot grow spiritually if you're not out of your comfort zone. You can't. If you're sitting here being relaxed and comfortable and everything is okay in your life, man, I'd start scratching my head thinking, you know what? Isn't God wanting me to grow? Isn't God wanting me to grow further? You know, I'm being stretched here. I'm out of my comfort zone. He's stretching me. But what's he trying to do? He wants to get you out of that position. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. This week, I want to further on that idea. And the question is, are we listening to the coach's instructions for your position? Are you listening to the coach's instructions for your position? How does that feel when you do and you make a game changer? I want to show you a video and in 1 second. You make sure the lights are turned down. But I want you to take a look at this video. And these are NFL players who have made game-changing plays, okay? So let's watch.
What's it feel like after you make that game-changing play? Well, it feels like you had a good day's work. That's what we all going out there to do is try to change the game in some way. And when you make that play, there's nothing more fulfilling than that.
It feels awesome to make a game-changing play. You know, I made a few of them last year. You know, I made one or two this year. So, you know, making a game-changing play definitely hypes you up more, gives you way more energy, and gives the team a lot more energy.
The best feeling in the world. You take whatever time in your life where you felt the most adrenaline, the most enthusiasm, or the most intensity, the highest form of happiness, and you ball that up, and you put that in one play. It's exactly what we feel when we do something that changes the impact of a game.
Wow. Those are three NFL players that made game-changing plays for their team. And they said, man, this feels great. Man, I'm all gung-ho. I want that. The adrenaline comes up on me, man. I make this game-changing play. I made a good play for my team. They all said it feels great when they made the game-changing play for their team. The opposite is also true. Just think about Judas. Judas made a game-changer, didn't he? Oh, he thought he was doing the right thing because and we're not going to go into that, but he thought he was doing the right thing, and then he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, right? And then what did he do? How does it feel? What did he do after he did that? And he figured, I just threw a pass interception. I just fumbled the ball at the 1 yard line at the other team. What does it feel like? He hung himself. He committed suicide. That's what it feels like. So think about when you're making a game-changing play for the other team, whose team are you making it for? Okay? When you go and you gossip, when you go and you do something you shouldn't do that will affect this body, don't do it. Think about it. Don't make a game changer. Make a game changer that will forward God's kingdom. Amen? Yeah, Judas, he did a game changer. You must obey the coach's instruction for you and be in the right position. And God has people in your life, like your pastor, like the Holy Spirit, like godly people, maybe a person that is leading a small group. Maybe it's a person, a Bible study person or whatever. They have those people in your life to show you biblically what you should be doing with your life, what you should be doing to make game-changing plays for the right team, right? That's why we're here. Someone who loves you enough to give you instructions that will help you grow spiritually, conform to the image of Jesus Christ, to take you out of your comfort zone and stretch you. And, you know, ask me, I'll stretch you. Some of you are saying, you know what, I don't want to teach a small group. I don't want to be in a small group. I don't want to be in a life group. I don't want to drive the bus. That's going to take me out of my comfort zone. I don't want to be here on Wednesday nights and teach these little kids that we bring in. I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable doing that. Well, come out of your comfort zone. I'm not here to make you comfortable, guys. That's not my job. I'm here to stretch you. I'm here to grow you spiritually. I'm here to grow you so that when you get to heaven, we'll talk about what happens when you get to heaven. We'll talk about that in a little bit. To put you in a little bit of an uncomfortable position. Now, we talked about Saul a couple of weeks ago before Alan came. And I want to go back and look at King Saul again in 1 Samuel chapter 15. When we looked at him last, we saw that he didn't do as his coach instructed him to do, right? When Samuel said, go to Gilead, don't go and do anything. Wait for me until I get there. Instructions, right? Samuel was doing that under God's guidance. God told Samuel, tell Saul to go and wait. Wait for my instructions. I'm going to give them to you. Saul didn't do that. He sacrificed instead because he went out of his comfort zone. When we looked at him last, we saw that he didn't listen to his coach's instruction. Therefore, he sinned against God and put the nation of Israel in a position to sin against God too. Now, he is given another chance. You know what? God is a God of second chances. Amen? He always wants to give you a second chance. He always says, you know what? Okay, you messed up that one. Let's see if you can get it right this time. And I'll guarantee you, once you are tested in one area, guess what's going to happen? And you fail, guess what happens? You're going to get a test in the same area of your life. There's no question about it. You will get tested again, and he's going to see what you do. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to make a game changer for the wrong team again? Or are you going to make a game changing play that's going to help grow this you and grow this people around you and everything else? So here we find him out of position again. And we're going to get to the scripture, but I want to get it. The enemy has surrounded them. He's the Israelites, and they don't have any weapons, okay? They have to make some weapons. They only have farm tools right now. They've got some rakes and some shovels and stuff like that. They're going to go up against the Philistines who have, you know, like chariots and spears and bow and arrows or whatever they have. They got farm tools that they've got to sharpen. Now, meanwhile, Saul's son, Jonathan, and his armor bearer, they go up and they go into the enemy camp of the Philistines, all right? Two of them. But they seek God's guidance. They said, God, if this happens, we'll go in. If this happens, we won't go in. We'll know that if this happens, that you have given the enemy into our hands. Okay? So they go to the right person right off the bat. They said, God, let me know what's going on, what you want me to do. So him and his armor bearer kill a whole encampment of Philistines. Pretty awesome, huh? They climb up a wall and everything. You have to read that. You need to read that. Today when you go home before the football game, you read that. And look what's happening there. But anyway, they got them all up there. And then where is King Saul when this is all going on? When his son and his armor bearer are going and slaughtering a whole slew of guys, okay? Where's he? Sitting under a tree, a pomegranate tree. I'm sure he's just cracking those babies open, eating them, you know, and saying, oh, this is good for me and everything. But that's where he is. He's sitting under a tree, under a pomegranate tree in the shade. Wow, that's nice, huh? And then after Jonathan has this big victory over all these Philistines, Saul makes another game-changing plan for the wrong team. What he does is he says, you know what? Nobody touch any of the spoil. Nobody can eat. Don't eat, don't drink. Now remember, this happens a little later on. There's some other things that go on. There's a battle that goes on. And after the battle, these guys are dragging, man. Oh, I'm tired. I'm tired, you know. And I need something to eat. I need some nourishment or whatever. And he says, if anybody eats, we're going to put you to death. So Jonathan didn't hear this. They were out there doing their thing. He comes back. He sees his big old honeycomb. He dips his hand in the honeycomb, eats the honeycomb, and guess what? His eyes get bright. He's all good and everything. And guess what his dad wants to do? Kill him. The guy just made a game-changing plan for the right team. He just killed all these Philistines, or at least God killed them all. He just had a little bit to do with it. And he wants to kill him. Now, turns out that he doesn't. Saul wants to put him to death, his own son who just won the victory. So let's pick up the story there. These are the coach's instructions. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's read the first three verses. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now he's given Saul another chance. Again, second chance. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. So God's just remembering what people do to his children. You know, there's nothing like a child of God knowing that, you know, it doesn't really matter where you are as far as your workplace goes, and maybe you're not being treated properly or whatever. God always shows his children favor. Amen? And this is one of those times. He says, you know what? I remember what you did to my kids. Any fathers and mothers in here that don't always remember what happens when somebody does something bad to their kids? Well, God's got a big memory. Verse 3, now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both men and women, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So what does that say? These are the instructions, right? He's saying, I don't want anything left. When you say wipe them all out, is there anything outside of all? Is there? No. He says don't leave anything. I want you to kill even the infants. I want you to kill the oxen. They aren't going to be any good to me. I want you to wipe them all out. These are the instructions from the coach. All right. Verse 7. This is what he actually does. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Helaba until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge that they destroyed utterly. What do you think? Did Saul listen to the coach's instructions? He didn't, did he? How could you not listen to God? How could, and it's spelled out. Look, here's what you got to do. Go in, wipe them all out, come back out, and that's that, right? Sounds fair. Just do it. But I'm going to save everything. Look what Saul tells him in verse 13. This is, now he's coming back out of the war, and it says, and Samuel comes to Saul, and Saul says unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, wait a second. Where did that come from? You performed what God said? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's kind of comical, these next couple verses. You have to laugh at them because Samuel, in 14, he says, and Samuel says, what meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ear? Saying, wait a minute, do I hear some sheep out there? What is that? And then it says, and the lowing of the oxen, which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them. He's going to blame somebody else for them, and that's what we normally do. When we sin, we look at the other person, just like Adam did. We're just exactly like Adam. It was you, God, that gave me this woman who made me fall. Right? We even blame God. But here we go. So Saul's blaming everybody else. He says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, that's not what he said. And then he says, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. So, here's the main point. Here is the absolute main point, because what's happening is he comes back and he says, hey, I got all this stuff. Well, that's not what you were supposed to do. And Samuel said, well, you know what? I'm going to go check it out with the Lord and see what the Lord says. And here's the point, verse 22. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Woe. And stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. He didn't listen. He didn't listen, guys. You know what? We already know what the will of God is, right? And when we are about to do something, maybe we ought to check it out and see what God really would have us do, right? Because if we don't, what's going to happen is we're going to go off and we're going to do something that God really doesn't want us to do. And that can be in any avenue of your life. That could be, you know, and then to come back and for God to say, you know what? I don't want your sacrifice. I want your money. I want this stuff. You know what I want? I want you. I want you to obey. I want you to do the right things in your life. I want you to make game-changing plays that are going to make a difference in your life and a difference in God's kingdom. That's what I want from you. I want sacrifices. That sacrifices is nothing. God owns everything. How could you possibly give God anything that would mean anything? Except for your obedience. That's what he wants. He wants your obedience. Saul didn't listen to the coach's instructions, and he was dealt with.
And the job was done anyway. If you take a look at verse 32, it says, "Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto his him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past." He's trying to talk Samuel out of this. "And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal." You see, folks, you could be sitting here and you could say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to teach back in the back. I'm not going to ride the bus, or I'm not going to do anything like that. I'm not going to give anything to support this ministry or whatever. But guess what? God already has somebody that's going to do it. If you don't do it, he will get somebody who will do it, who will be obedient. So you need to think about that. You need to think about, what game changer are you guys going to make? How are you going to affect this ministry? How are you going to affect the kingdom of God? The job's going to get done. God's work and his will always be done without you. And there will always be a price to pay. Now, I told you the story when I was out of position from where the coach wanted me to be. Remember a couple of weeks ago? I said, look, let me set this up, because some of you weren't here. It's kind of like this right here. I was in the secondary. I was a right back here in the defense. And what happened was, I know all of you can't see this, but he takes the snap. This guy comes off the tackle, and he runs this way, and this guy ran around me. And what happened was, my position, the coach said, go out, go further. And I didn't go further because I was uncomfortable out here. When you ever play defensive back, you kind of have to be in this zone. You're watching the football, you're there, and you're keeping your eye on the ball. But what happens if you're out, and that's a comfortable position to be in, because it's kind of like you're there with all the action. I'm close enough to go this way if they go this way. But my coach said, no, the play is going to come off the tackle, and he's going to go around you if you're not out here far enough. So what happened? Sure enough, I didn't do what my coach did. I got into a comfortable position. They snapped the ball, and they ran around me. I couldn't catch him. This guy was a back. I played the line for offense, and I played a back. I'm fast, but I'm not that fast. These guys are much faster. Otherwise, I'd have been a back, right? A running back. So I couldn't catch him. Finally, they did, and they went on to make a touchdown. So anyway, I didn't listen to the boss. I scored a game-changing play for the other team. For the wrong team. But it doesn't end there. Here it is again. Same game, fourth quarter. The score is 7-7, and we're playing the best team, South Union at the time. We're playing the best team. They're undefeated. We're undefeated so far. 7-7. They're about the 20-yard line. I'm in position again, okay? I'm in my comfort zone, and here I am. The coach tells me, because he's right over there now. Because before he was on the other side of the field saying, go, go, go. This time he's, hey Joe. He says, Ritz, he's coming around you again. Same play. He's going to come off that tackle, be in position. So reluctantly, I moved over. I moved over into position. Now remember, this is I'm in position. I'm uncomfortable out here, because what if he turns in and I can't make the play, okay? So I think I know better than the coach, but I'm going to listen to him this time. The ball snapped. Now, if they go in for a touchdown, they could potentially win the game, all right? So here he comes. Comes off the tackle, just like he said. He couldn't go around me, because if he went around me, he's going to go out of bounds. He couldn't turn in, because I ran towards him. I ran towards him at full blast. He's running towards me at full blast. I grabbed him like this, and we both were horizontal, about this far off the ground. And when I hit, I think I got knocked out. It was like a truck hit me.
he hit me so hard that I thought, really, I thought I was going to pass out. This guy, I mean, that's how strong he was and how fast we both running towards each other. And I laid him out. I got up, as dazed as I was, and you remember Coach Broder, right? Coach was my coach. And he yelled from the sidelines as I was coming out because they wanted to take me out, see if I was hurt. And he says, "Ritz, you look like $1 million." He didn't say that the first time. We went on to win that game. We went undefeated that year. I made a game-changing play because I listened to my coach. I was in an uncomfortable position, but I was in position where my coach told me to be, and I listened to him, and I made the game changer. I still remember that. It's like it happened just yesterday. It's so vivid. It just rings in my ear. I just love that. That's what those guys in the video were talking about. What it feels like when you make a game-changing plan for the right team. When you listen to the coach, his instructions. And Jesus says it best in Matthew 25. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. He says it best right here. Jesus is talking to three different people to set you up here. And what's happening is he's talking about the king, a king who's going to go away. And what he's going to do is he's going to give some people, some servants, some talents. Okay? Now, this is money, but it's also talents. Isn't that funny how that works together? He's given you certain talents too, and not just money, but talents. Like how to drive, like how to teach, like how to do. He's given that to you. And he's saying, here's five to one servant, here's three to another, and here's one to another, okay? And he says, I'll be back. Well, the one that had five got five more. The one that got three more. The one that had one went, dug a hole, put it in the ground, and left it. And then when the guy comes back, the king comes back, here's what he says, verse 25. Or let's start in 20. He says, "And so he that hath received five talents came and brought another five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside that five talents more. And his Lord said unto him," and this is, "you look like $1 million. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's what he says. He says, "You look like $1 million. You did exactly what I told you to do. You didn't just sit around on a bench listening to a message. What you did is you got up and you tackled that guy. You tackled it. And you made a game-changing play." I want to hear that. Look what happens, though. The last one. It says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathered where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto them, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I not sow, and gather where I did not strew. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to an exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him with the 10 talents. And for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away
even that which he has, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, that he shall be reaping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. And I want to hear that from God for you. I want that for you. I want, when you get to heaven and you are in the judgment seat of Christ, that God says, you looked like a million bucks. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So you need to be in the right position to do that. You need to listen to the coach and make a game-changing play. The team is counting on you. Let's stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. If we go way back in the first message and we talked about the teams, and I talked, maybe you're not on a team, maybe you're on the wrong team, or you are on a team, it's just the wrong team. Maybe today is the day that you need to switch your t-shirt, switch your jersey, and go to the right team. And the way you do that is by, first of all, inviting Christ into your heart. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, deliberately said, Jesus, I want you, I forgive me for my sins, I know that my sin has separated me from you, I want you to reside in my heart. So here is the invitation to you to come in. If you've never done that, today is the day that you need to do that. Don't walk out this door this morning without doing that. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And once I do that, there are going to be people in the back, and there are people back there right now. There are men and women. If you've prayed that prayer and you need to know a little bit more about it, you want to know more about it, you want to know what God's Word says about being born again, then they are equipped to be able to talk to you about that. And if you're here today and you need some prayer, if you're like stuck and there's something going on in your life and you just are burdened with everything and you're hurting with everything and you don't know what direction to go and you don't know who's game-changing play, what team you're making those game-changing plays for, you can come up to the altar this morning, or you can go in the back and say, hey, you know what, I need you to pray for me, and this is the area I want you to pray for me. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, this morning is the morning that you need to pray this prayer. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I understand my sin has separated me from you. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and rose again from the grave to offer me this gift of eternal life. I open the door to my heart and invite Christ in to be my personal Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, can you slip up your hand? And I'm not going to call you out. I just want to see if, so I know how to pray for you. Anybody? Anybody pray that prayer? All right. Well, if you need prayer, or if you just want to come down and just say, God, where do you see me? Are you going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Are you going to say you look like a million bucks? How do I do that, God? Where do you want me? Show me. Why don't you come on down? We're just going to have a verse of invitation. And if God has spoken to you today, now's the time to come down.
Your grace is enough, more than I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your Spirit make me new, and I will fall at your feet. I will fall at your feet, and and I will worship you here.
Dear gracious God, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the folks that are here, who every day they make game changers for your kingdom. Thank you so much for them, Lord. God, we would ask that as we leave here today and as our week progresses, that this message would just grind on us, that it would think about us. I think about the things that we do and the things that we say and how we have a huge impact, a huge effect on your kingdom. God, open our eyes, open our hearts, and may we make game changers for you. And it's in Christ's name we pray.